I can hear you. Yay. Okay. Are we good? Everyone's good?
Pretty soon, ladies and gentlemen, this will not be a problem, you know, sooner or later. Sooner or later.
Technology. Love it.
I lost the meeting.
Giving me stress.
It's giving me stress.
I actually have to open up a hole in this train because I.
Audio?
Brian, can you still hear us?
What happened? How do you do the magic tricks with the pump? Magic tricks.
Yeah, using that video.
Doug never thought he'd have to do this when he was in engineering school. building things. One day you'll be at a municipal meeting, and this is what your job will require.
All those years of education.
You put that on your resume.
So they can hear us, and just confirm that they can hear us.
No, we're good now. Can they hear us?
No.
No, we'll get there.
I can only face one.
Councilman Crowley or Councilman Bob, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, we're both
on.
You got
to be on the
table. We can see you and hear you.
Okay. We're good?
Most important.
Doug, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello. What time is it? It is 7:05. And call to order. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the open public meetings law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two-Word Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2022. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Here.
Ms. Hohenleitner.
Here.
Mr. Daugherty.
Here.
Mr. Crowley?
He's virtually saying he's here.
Mr. Baraccia?
Here.
Mr. Baum?
He's also...
He too is virtually saying he's here.
Okay.
With a thumbs.
Does that mean the speaker's not working now?
Mayor Gillespie?
He can't hear.
Here.
It keeps cutting out for some reason. They can hear us.
Oh, okay. All right.
Keep confirming that they can hear us.
Okay. So, please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, now, moving on. Approval of the previous meeting minutes for June 9th, 2022.
I'll move that, Dorothy.
Second.
And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Is it thumbs up?
He appears to be saying yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Here. Yes, rather. Excuse me.
Mr. Bombs?
Frozen.
And frozen.
Let's take a brief break before we vote on anything else. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure it's all working right.
They have lost
two council members virtually.
I think it's a liability law. Kicks out.
Working before.
I know it's the first night.
It was working fine.
I want to go over there, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Not going to know anymore. They probably don't know. I don't see how it can change.
Magic tricks? And magic tricks of cooking. Oh, my phone.
Yeah, the weather outside is nice, huh?
That's great. Yankees are on fire. They're not Rangers.
Yeah. How much good is the Mets thing?
So we see if we're interested. I think we should.
That should be a field trip. That'd be fun.
Recreation, but a bus.
Recreation.
Do we use the bus?
Yes, I remember.
We used to get buses.
Different trucks and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But just got too much. No, they're all green. They're good. I thought it was going to be a long meeting, but I didn't realize it was going to be. No. No. But that, you know what?
Why don't we have one that's supported by him?
Do you have the preferences on?
It's not to Jabra.
Yeah.
I can hear you. Hey! It's a go.
It's a go.
Council Bombs, I can hear you.
We can hear both of you.
Okay, great.
So I think we should tell them that we're really just trying to build up anticipation for the new system. You know, just showing you how exciting it's going to be.
Okay. So, we're going to be going into a workshop now.
Okay. Thank you. So what I'd like to do is, if you recall at the last meeting, we discussed the FEMA application that was required per law to be submitted by municipalities. There were a few questions regarding the floodplain management FEMA application, and there was a couple of comments relative to the insinuation notion or assumption that there needed to be a public discussion and discord regarding it, which is incorrect. FEMA did not require that. As a result, I had asked our floodplain management coordinator, Joe Schember, if he'd be willing on his own personal time to come in and just say a few words, since he's the expert on the matter, regarding the application, and on a high level, just within a couple minutes, just let everyone know what it actually meant, that application. And he agreed to do so. So I thank him for that. He's going to be leaving after he makes his comments. Again, he's not required to be here per the borough or per FEMA, but he happily accepted my invitation to come to say a few words. So I thank him for that. And Joe, it's all yours.
Thank you, Joe.
So basically what this was is every municipality in New Jersey requires to update your floodplain management. What it really did, and honestly, in last island, there is zero effect. Nothing has changed. It's exactly the same. All it does is take your ordinance and relate it to the building code, the New Jersey building code. The reason you guys were affected is only because the town is so small and the highway is small, and they made a change. And you guys are on the state line. So that's really what this comes down to. It doesn't affect your insurance, cost, ratings, anything. So I want to see if anybody has any questions.
Joe, it's mandatory that the borough adopt this ordinance, right?
It is mandatory. If you didn't adopt it, your town just kicked out of the National Flood Insurance Program. Would be able to obtain flood insurance, would be able to sell a house. You know, so it's a better mandate, something that everybody has to do. So, but that probably there's zero effect, you know, to your town here.
On Harborview, there would be no change?
No change.
So just to clarify, it's no change from what's already in place now by adopting this ordinance, in terms of the rules that people have to follow with regard to their property.
Okay. Certainly
okay. I think that's
thank
helpful.
You.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pachinski.
Do any members of the council have questions? Maybe we're remote.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. And it's good to see you.
We miss you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Now, it's public comment on agenda items only. Please direct all questions and comments to me, the dais. So thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Sarah Colasurdo, 20 Asylum Monmouth. Thank you for bringing the floodplain administrator to talk to us tonight. I just wanted to use this opportunity to just bring up back again the suggestion I made last meeting to Mayor and Council.
Is this on any
with the flood code?
Okay, that is not on the.
It is on the agenda.
It's consent agenda. It's consent.
That's the workshop occurred before the consent.
Yeah, so why don't we save that?
I'm sorry. This is only on the. I'm sorry. You can wait with your comments. Okay. Thank you. So it's only the three on the consent agenda. So if is there anyone on there? Okay. Thank you.
Josh Linesdorf, 60 Bayside Drive.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm on Bayside Drive, emergency repair. Aside from the fact that that seems to be a lot of money for what I saw, isn't there a pipe taking runoff from Ocean Boulevard going into that sewer, into that outfall? I mean, Mr. Rollmeyer,
yes, Mr. Rollmeyer, can you?
So, the emergency work has not been completed yet. The work that you can see out there currently was done by your Public Works Department to restore the edge of the pavement. In summary, in one of the recent heavy rainfall events was not contained on the road and did not go down the actual storm sewer system that bisects Bayside Drive. So, Mr. Lunter, if you're correct, there's a pipe run that comes down the hill, crosses under Bayside, and has a an outfall pipe down below Bayside, upstream of the trail. And what happened was, what it appears to have happened was, the surface runoff was not able to get into the drain, or the drain went out of capacity on Bayside, and the water went over the high edge and over the hill. There's an area that was not stabilized between the edge of pavement and the stone channel down below. That's what got eroded along with the edge of the pavement. This is in the guardrail section. So.
Right. My question really is, so shouldn't the county be contributing to this repair? That's really all I'm raising. Seeing as their runoff is contributing to the erosion, it seems to me that the county should be on the hook for their proportional amount.
At this point, the borough's taking the lead on implementing the repair. I have no problem if Mayor and Council wants me to look at the upstream drainage area, and we can run it by the county for any cost sharing.
Thank you. That's all. I just wanted to raise that issue.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Langstar. Anyone else?
No other hands raised, Mayor.
Okay. So I don't see any hands, so I'm going to move on to the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 113, amending the salary resolution 104-2022. Resolution 14, authorizing emergency repair on Bayside Drive. Resolution 15, payment of bills, $278,149.22. I need a motion and a second.
Murphy?
Motion.
And Brian?
5 seconds.
Did you get that?
Murphy Bonds.
Okay. And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hollenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dockery?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bonds?
Yes.
Mayor, items on the consent agenda have passed.
Thank you. So we're moving into now the reports. Councilman Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll start with DPW. Street Department has completed all zones for summer brush pickup. The next pickup is not scheduled until October. At this time, any brush that is out town-wide is in violation, and code enforcement will be issuing notices. Reminder, the borough yard is open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Street Department has been painting curbs, parking lines, and adding no littering public access signs for beach and hot pavement for dog walking signs. Buildings and grounds, DPW is out doing weeds and overgrowth control with the frail mower, also using weed whackers and other hand-used tools. Water and Sewer Department will be conducting meter reading the first week in July. They're very busy with markouts and reports currently. Vehicle maintenance, our technicians are keeping very busy repairing and servicing all borough equipment. Reminder, our technicians, service vehicles, and the equipment for Atlantic Highlands Police, Fire, First Aid, Sanitation, Water, and Sewer, Street Department, Buildings and Grounds, Administrative Vehicles, Harbor, Harbor Security, Generators, Borough of Highlands, Department of Public Works, Borough of Highlands, FAS, Borough of Highlands Police, are all included within this. This is a tremendous amount of equipment for our two technicians. Shared service in May. We called Monmouth County Fleet Service to assist us with a malfunctioning sanitation truck on Ocean Boulevard. The members from Monmouth County, quickly arrived in town, coming from Freehold with a massive tow truck and assisted getting the unit back into our yard for repair. Sanitation, new sanitation truck is in service and on the route. This replaced a 2001 unit, which has been auctioned and has retired from work within the borough. Regarding recycling, we are asking all residents to correctly sort and process recycling on the route and the borough yard. If it is not sorted correctly, it will not be taken and a violation warning will be left. Please see the borough calendar for additional information on recycling instructions. Assistance needed, please help trim around your neighborhood fire hydrants and keep your neighborhood storm basin and drains clear. This will not only assist the DPW, it will also help protect your neighborhood. Please refer to the borough calendar for all schedules and borough information. Any issues, please call Jimmy Phillips at 848-444-0067. I will leave fire and OEM for Councilman Dougherty and Councilman Bombs, as well as the OEM task force. I'll leave that for you as well, Councilman. As far as recreation, I'm sure Councilman Crowley will touch more on our music festival conversations, as well as the fact that our drive-in movie this weekend has been postponed. That's the one that's taking place this Saturday, June 25th, has been postponed until July. Summer recreation begins July 5th. We'll run until August 12th. We have some basketball clinics, as mentioned in previous meetings. The clinics will run from July 12th to August 4th, and those will be from grades 4th through 7th, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. There'll also be what's called a biddy basketball clinic for kindergartners through third graders, third grade July 20th, July 27th, and August 3rd. These are for boys and girls. Between the ages of kindergarten and third grade. That, I believe, is the end of my report, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank the birthday girl.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So I'll start with Harbor. Fireman's Fair is coming. If you are willing to volunteer, Dr. Cetron is looking for volunteers to help man the food tent as well as some entertainment during the Thursday night in particular. They're looking for a little bit of, if anybody has any ideas for something that would be interesting for folks to come down for the Fireman's Fair. They've got every other night very well entertained, and our fireworks are going to be amazing. We really have a need for more folks to start volunteering at the Fireman's Fair. We have a lot of folks who passed away this year, and moved out of town, so that have been involved for years and years, I think, especially a former Councilman Jake. So mm-hmm. It's going to be, a bittersweet year at the Fireman's Fair, but if you're able to volunteer, Dr. Cetron would appreciate it, and we need to refill those ranks. The Yacht Club is going to have Drag Queen Bingo on Sunday, which is going to be super fun. There's a couple of seatings. I don't know if there's any space available, but as a tenant in the Yacht Club, we're excited that they're doing that. For the Finance and Personnel Committee, I had a question, Mr. Farragina, how is the search going to fill that open position that is so important in our office?
For the administrative assistant?
For the administrative assistant.
So we received to date approximately 13 applications, I believe. It's on the League of Municipalities portal, I think, through the end of this month. We've interviewed 6 individuals at this point in time. We will interview a few tomorrow and the balance next week.
And who's we interviewing them?
So myself and the HR director.
Great.
For the first round.
Markle, you're here today.
That's the first round. And then when it gets drawn down to 2 or 3 top candidates, we'll have a second interview with both myself, the HR director, and the clerk will probably participate in that second round as well.
Awesome. as far as open space is concerned, we met, we had some folks who weren't able to make the meeting, and Mr. Baraki and I are going to get together to review the recommendations of the Open Space Committee to discuss, there's a community block grant available for us to apply for, and we're just looking at what's the priority for that. There's been some suggestions from the administrator and Mr. Romeyer for us to consider, and after Mr. Baraki and I get together, we're going to make our recommendations on that. Shade tree, I'm going to leave for Mr. Dougherty. And then just real quick, I attended a Juneteenth networking event on last Friday night, and it was a really great, the county government was really supportive of it. Senator Gopalis Foundation was very supportive of it, but it was looking to provide diverse opportunities for equity in Monmouth County, and I think there's a real movement for that. So if anyone's interested in being part of that, I know the police department, our police department has been interested and engaged, but that's a new thing that is happening in Monmouth County, and we're really excited about it. So that is it. I'm short tonight.
Okay.
Thanks.
So Fire and EMS, year-to-date there have been 74 fire calls, which I'm told is a bit above normal, but that is the update there. And as Councilman Hohenleitner mentioned, the Fireman's Fair will be held on July 5th to July 9th. Fireworks night is Friday, July 8th, with rain dates set for Saturday, July 9th. The bracelet night, which is pay one price, ride all night, a favorite of my kids, will be every night except the night of
Bracelet night.
So I encourage everyone to come out for a great time, support our fire department, and as the councilwoman mentioned, if you're able to volunteer, please do so. EMS task force met briefly last evening and agreed to try to hold a follow-up meeting in the next 2 to 3 weeks. After trying to gather some information, we're seeking from the state entities that oversee EMS. So that is the only update there. Planning board will meet next Thursday, Thursday, July 7th. As discussed at our last mayor and council meeting, the planning board will hold a master plan consistency review for the proposed cannabis ordinance 09-2022 at that meeting. So if you're interested, it'll be in the space on Thursday, July 7th. The Environmental Commission is scheduled to meet next on Tuesday, July 28th at 7 p.m. Shade Tree has not met since our last meeting, so no update there. Parking committee met last Thursday, June 16th. We had a discussion on the Holly Tree lot, the new overnight parking spaces there. The gate into the C Street fenced in lot will be moved. So that has not yet happened, and we're also seeking a new position for the signage around the skate park to better advertise that that is not meant to be commuter parking anymore, any longer. It's meant to be public parking. So once that is completed and the new striping can be completed, enforcement can begin. We had a pretty fervent discussion on the parking permit fee in the municipal lot. For those who may not be aware, it's $25 per year, which works out to a little less than 7 cents a day. It's considerably lower than our neighboring communities, and certainly lower than the 10 Ocean building pays for parking per month. So we are in discussions with Mr. Farragina on what to do there, and we'll have some future updates. And breaking news, as we've been discussing in the last couple of meetings, we had a fervent discussion on the new normal, and we are there. In the opinion of the committee, in terms of post-pandemic and where we are in terms of our businesses opening and where we are in terms of C-Street ridership, it is our belief, the committee's belief, that we are in what we would consider a new normal. And so the committee renews our calls for a parking and traffic study to be funded so we can figure out our needs here in town. And that, Mayor?
I forgot something. I'm so sorry. I have my phone in my hand to do it, too. We did receive notice, and it was put out publicly, that we've cleared the first hurdle in the appropriations bill for the harbor. There's $2.1 million for the municipal harbor bulkhead repairs added to the bill. It still has to be passed through both houses, but Congressman Pullen's office did share that with us, and they've been working really hard to include Atlantic Highlands in any appropriations bills that are moving forward, so we're really grateful for that. So hopefully it will pass both houses, and we will have that funding in place.
Thank you. That's okay. Mr. Crowley?
Thank you, Mayor. I'll start off by saying that last night I attended the 2022 graduation along with you at Henry Hudson, and just want to give a tip of the cap to all the kids that graduated. I shouldn't say kids, girls that graduated last night. It's a really fine group of young people. My son graduated, so I know all of them very, very well. And it's bittersweet to know that they're flying the nest, but also very exciting that they're starting this new chapter in their life. And I'll just repeat some of the figures that came out last night. Mary, you can double check me on this, but I think 49 graduates, and 40 of them have been accepted to colleges and universities. 5 of them are going into the workforce, and 3 of them are going directly into various branches of the military. Mm-hmm. The Air Force, the Marines, and the Army were represented. So, and they also, these 40 kids are responsible for gathering over $2.9 million in scholarship money. So it's also a tip of the cap to our teachers and our administrators at AHES, Highlands Elementary, and also Hudson for guiding these students through the 12, 13 years that they were in our system. And they look like the future is boundless for them. So congrats to them. Also, communications, I'll tell you that we did a check day before yesterday of the live stream system. It's up and running.
It's beautiful. I was here with John, so I'm just saying.
The sound is crystal clear. Yep. Thank you for, you know, we're still dealing with not that system, but the jury read system that we put together. I just had some difficulties tonight for whatever reason, but and thank you to Councilor Barakia for putting that together for us the last couple of months. But we'll put the new system together. We'll put the new system to get to use at our next meeting. We just held off because our clerk is gone tonight, and so just felt that it would run smoother than the new system with her there. Mm-hmm. Recreation, nothing to add to what Councilman Murphy said, with the exception of, I'll just reiterate that we have postponed this Saturday's drive-in movie, and we'll do it in July. Also, I'll be putting up a poll probably in the next couple of days for people to be able to help pick the movies. Parking Committee, Councilman Dougherty already reported on that, and I think that's it for me, Mayor.
Thank you. Enjoy California.
And I will add that I'm very proud because I'm here tonight online and not with all of you, because my godson has just graduated from the Sheriff's Academy, and I needed to be here to help support him. It's an auspicious occasion, so I hope you'll excuse my absence.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Councilman Barakia? Yeah.
I just want to add one thing on the harbor. Minor thing, the pyramid moorings we discussed last time. We're having to go through engineering now to make sure 800-pound moorings are going to be enough. That's an opportunity to save about $100,000 in installation and produce about $30,000 increased revenue per year. So on finance, we talked about the bonding approved last week for the roads. We have grant money that's actually coming in that'll pay for that. So that's a nice opportunity to actually get the roads, pay the bond off early, and not increase our debt, which is always a nice thing. Personnel, I think, did we talk about the 2 police officers? We're looking to hire 2 new police officers in the future. I'll leave that to Mr. Bones if he wants to add a comment, as we have some retirement going on and some other openings. Technology, Mr. Crowley mentioned, we also are still working with department heads and employees to work on the website and just fine-tune that so it's a little bit easier to read and use. Open space was addressed. Cannabis committee, you've got the ordinances out there. It's there for if you want to read it. Be interested in knowing your comments as we move along with this. And that's it right now, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilman Baums?
Thank you, Mayor. The only account police department, as Councilman Brock, he said, is looking to hire a full-time officer, as well as still looking to fill a cross guard position for the 22-23 school year starting in September. There are applications to the White headquarters. To follow up on Councilman Dougherty on EMS, I believe one of our residents, if I'm not mistaken, was Mr. Fisher, had asked, since the implementation of JFK, how many calls have they gone on? JFK has responded to 60 calls since the beginning of the year, January 1st. Lantown Fire, First Aid has responded to 33. There have been 22 calls from mutual aid, one canceled call, 8 unknown calls, and there were 24 non-emergency calls, which results in a total of 148 calls. With regards to OEM, Director Wyler has continued to do a great job keeping all the departments updated on any pending inclement weather over the last few weeks. We've had some torrential rain and winds that create some havoc on Jim Phillip, and she made sure that all the departments have been aware of that. And that's all I have this evening, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. Administrators, the report.
Okay, thank you. Let's see here. On June 14th, Councilman Bombs and I attended the Monmouth County Improvement Authority presentation regarding financing and financing options for municipalities. That was held in Red Bank. On June 16th, the Atlantic Highlands Police Chief Reiner and Captain Murtha and I attended the State Chiefs Association Reaccreditation Commission hearing in South Brunswick Township. Chief Reiner presented his application. This was the last step in the reaccreditation process with Q&As from the commission panel. The commission unanimously approved the reaccreditation for the Atlantic Highlands Police Department for 3 years, 2019, 2020, and 2021. So congratulations to Chief Reiner and the Atlantic Highlands Police Department. We received a letter from the DCA, the Department of Community Affairs. It's a press release, and it states that the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs today announced that its Division of Housing and Community Resources will be accepting pre-applications online for the state rental assistance program for the waiting list. Pre-applications will be accepted to enter a lottery for the statewide SRAP program for the elderly, family, disabled, and homeless categories. And that letter was dated June 20. We had also received a letter of communication from the Department of Environmental Protection regarding the geotechnical survey borings for the applicant Atlantic Shores Offshore Wind. In sum, the letter states the application is being withdrawn because geotechnical borings within shellfish habitat are not eligible for a GP-23. The application is hereby considered withdrawn. So FYI to the community on that. At 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, June 29th, the Bernie Sweeney Wade Memorial sign will be unveiled at the corner of First Avenue and Simon Lake Drive. After the sign unveiling, guests are invited back to the Shore Casino, where hot dogs and refreshments will be provided to everyone outside of the building, as that was Bernie's favorite food. In addition,
It was.
In addition, there will
nothing
be
nothing better than a good hot dog.
There will be a more extensive offering of food and beverage inside the Shore Casino for those guests who would like to partake. As a follow-up pertaining to Mr. Sherman's concern at the last council meeting, my office has authorized the DPW and to place, which they've already done, new public access signage at the Center Avenue Park. Several months ago, my office applied for a wellness grant from the Central Jersey Health Insurance Fund. The borough was awarded that grant, and as a result, it funded a health fair for borough employees that took place on Tuesday, June 21st from 11 to 3 p.m. at the Senior Center. Special thank you to the Bayshore Pharmacy, East Point Health and Fitness, and Atlantic Medical Associates who provided medical review, blood glucose and A1C checks, blood pressure checks, osteoporosis screening, free protein shakes, nutritional consultations, training consultations, and gym membership vouchers by East Point Health and Fitness. So thank you to everyone who was involved in that. It was a wonderful event. It did not cost the borough anything. It was an investment through the grant. Regionalization. As a result of the feedback from the public at recent council meetings discussed at the May 26th council meeting, as well as the June 9th council meeting, as well as the roundtable discussion on June 9th that the mayor and I attended with the representatives from Highlands, Seabright, and the Board of Education, there will be a town hall meeting to discuss regionalization on Monday, July 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Atlantic Highlands Elementary School Gymnasium. That location was chosen because there were comments and there were feelings made by multiple individuals and parties, stakeholders, that this room may not be suitable for a large crowd that would be anticipated to show up. Dr. Beams presented and confirmed the date and the availability of the gymnasium at the June 14th Board of Education meeting. An event form has been processed with the school, and in addition to the mayor and council asking to participate at that event, to attend, Matt Giacobbe, the attorney, will be attending as well to provide any feedback. Per my directive, DPW recently removed the old gazebo concrete base and walkway on Center Avenue next to the borough parking lot. The area was a hazard and an eyesore. Grass seed, potential hazard and an eyesore. Grass seed has been planted, the concrete elements have been removed, and the area is more aesthetically pleasing. So for those of you who are familiar with that center, that location, if you walk through the municipal parking lot and you head towards center, you know, there used to be a gazebo, apparently, for many years. It was removed years ago. And the result of the gazebo being removed was big, large chunks of concrete that remained there. And there were two hazard barrels that were on there, right, from what I'm hearing, for quite a while. So the mayor and I walked through one day, and it just did not look aesthetically pleasing. So DPW did a tremendous job. They came with their backhoe, I believe. They removed all the concrete elements. They raked it through with new soil, planted grass seed, watered it, and it should look fantastic. 2023 or 2024, we'll see if we can allocate some funds to acquire, to purchase a new gazebo and make that area a little bit more aesthetically appealing.
Just so you know, there was a plan created to put a pollinator garden there, but the removal of all the concrete was a barrier to that. So there is actually a design created over there that could perhaps be adjusted to include the gazebo again.
Absolutely.
And it's already done.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. I'll follow up on that. Let's see where we're at in here. Okay. Now, we already addressed the drive-in movie. New Jersey Natural Gas has informed us that 10 locations on Center Avenue that were part of the New Jersey Natural Gas EFV, excessive flow valve program that ran for several years post-Sandy, will be infrared in the coming weeks. The number of addresses that will be infrared on Center is 29, 49, 51, 53, 55, 57, 60, 64, 71, and 73. And this is a very good thing. JCP&L has informed us that with anticipated higher electric usage and severe weather possible during the hot summer months, JCP&L, subsidiary of First Energy Corp, has completed equipment inspections and maintenance throughout its central and North Jersey service area to help enhance service reliability for customers. Nearly 800 miles of high voltage transmission lines have been inspected via helicopter patrols and on foot to help identify tree-related issues, damaged wires, broken crossarms, and other hardware problems. Any potential reliability issues identified during the inspections have been and or are being addressed as quickly as possible. The Chamber Car Show on June 18th was a huge success. Thank you to the Chamber and to the DPW for cleaning the streets and the trash receptacles before and after the event. And the only last thing I have in my report is thank you to Beth Merkel for stepping in. Yay. And pitching in for the borough clerk this evening. She's doing a great job.
She is.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Mayor, if I could just interrupt just for the record, Mr. Crowley, I don't know if he lost connection. I always had issues earlier, but he dropped off in case he's trying to get back in. I don't know if he does, but he's record.
Okay.
Councilman Crowley is not in the attendee list at this time, and he dropped off during Mr. Ferris.
We're not voting on anything any further, so
yeah,
that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure Casey was trying to get back in.
Oh,
okay.
Done? Yes, thank you, Mayor. With regards to the stormwater outfall pipe stabilization downstream of Bayside Drive, the emergency contractor indicated that they are gathering materials now to do the actual stabilization and anticipates getting mobilized this upcoming week. So we'll be on the lookout for that to assist as needed. They did submit a insurance certificate naming the borough and Monmouth County Park System additionally insured. The 2022 road program and South Avenue Park projects are on our survey schedule, so field surveys are going to be taking place shortly. We'll create the base maps, and that'll allow us to implement concepts and designs for the two projects. Additionally, July 1st is the NJDOT Municipal Aid Grant Application Submission Deadline, so as you recall, a resolution of support of that grant application was passed at the prior meeting. Our office is in line to have that completed in time. That's all I have for tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Sena.
Nothing to report tonight, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. So we're moving on to public comment. Once again, please direct all questions and comments to the dais. Name and address as you come up. Is there anyone? I'm going to go to Zoom first.
No answer.
Okay. Sarah, go ahead. I know.
Hi again. Sarah Colasoto, 2010. So at the last meeting when the flood code was introduced, there seems to be a lot of confusion around what a flood code is required to do, what is required to be applied, and so I suggested that, you know, there's probably other opportunities for us to educate the public about flood risk, which is very important in the community, and I said that when the FEMA flood maps would be released, because that also came up in that conversation, I thought that the mayor and council could help in disseminating information about that. Mayor, you very quickly dismissed that as an idea. You said that the Environmental Commission should review those. And so I was pretty surprised at that response, and I thought probably the only logical conclusion is there's a little bit of misunderstanding amongst folks about what the importance of the FEMA flood maps are. And it was definitely frustrating because there are state and federal and local agencies that are falling all over themselves to spread information to the public about flood risk. And here we had really publicly, you know, our leader basically dismissing the educating the public about flood risk. So I thought that this might be a nice opportunity for me to just take a minute and highlight some of the important things that are FEMA flood maps do. Get some better understanding here, maybe a commitment to disseminate information about flood risk and flood maps. The Federal Emergency Management Agency creates the flood maps, and they're geared towards reducing risk to life and property, not just about the environment. And they dictate where homeowners with a federally backed mortgage are required to have flood insurance. 17% of Atlantic Highlands residents have flood insurance through the NFIP, so that's about 250 single-family homes. And, that's a lot, that's a good proportion of our homes, but that could be even higher if people had a better understanding of what proximity they live to designated floodplains. Because nationally, about half of FEMA flood claims come from houses that aren't even in the area where flood insurance is required. And it doesn't take a lot of flooding for financial straits for a homeowner. It only takes 1 inch of water in a home to cost $25,000 of repairs, and it just goes up from there, obviously. And that also applies to business owners. Whether they own their business or their building or not, they need to have a plan to avoid business disruption from any event like a flood. And a significant part of First Avenue is in the floodplain. And 40% of businesses after a flood disaster never reopen, and 25% of businesses close within a year of that. So if businesses don't know that they're at risk, they might not do anything to take precautions. And the same thing goes for a public facility, such as the harbor, which brings in $1 million in revenue for a municipality every year. And it's important to understand that the National Flood Insurance Program is a partnership between the community and FEMA. FEMA agrees to underwrite our flood insurance if the community follows certain rules to limit flood damage and casualties. The maps dictate where higher standards are required for new construction and substantial improvements, how a property owner can alter their property, when they need to elevate, and how they need to handle their utilities, among other things. This is what the flood code is obviously all about. Those requirements can be very expensive, and homeowners need to know what is required of them and what restrictions they face, or else they'll incur huge penalties and fines. The flood maps are also used to establish and enforce zoning and land use, to plan new public facilities and infrastructure, to notify of flood warnings, and for emergency management and evacuation planning. And when the new flood maps come out, I think that everyone in the town should review them, the mayor and council, business owners, homeowners, renters, property managers, the municipal harbor, emergency management coordinator, planning board, public, police, fire, EMS. And community has a 90-day appeal period during which it can appeal the flood zones and flood elevations. And if you keep people in the dark about new flood maps, you're taking away their property power to protect themselves and their property, and also taking away their legal right to appeal. I've been talking a lot about the new flood maps. Those come out on FEMA schedule, so I don't think it's going to be for a couple of years, but we can actively be promoting existing resources such as FEMA's Mapping Flood Service, where people can view their current flood maps, especially in light of the new flood code. FloodSmart.gov, they can learn about flood insurance. There's a new thing called Flood Factor, where folks can actually enter their address and get a 1 to 10 rating on the flood risk of their property. And a new resource is ReduceFloodRisk.org, where people can search and filter risk reduction measures based on their property type. So as I said, flood risk communication is a really big deal in the industry. We need everyone on board with spreading the message about how important it is to understand your own flood risk, protect your home, your business, your property, and, you know, potentially your life.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rass.
Hi, my name is Greg Rass.
Can you,
49 8th Avenue, Atlanta, Islands. There's, from what I understand, some distortion about a letter that I wrote to the mayor and council on the 20th. I want to read what I wrote so that people know what I wrote. It's an opinion letter to the mayor and council, borough of Atlanta, Commons, from Frederick Rass. Resident of the borough and retired military veteran. I want this letter to be a formal notification to the mayor and council that as a lifelong resident military veteran, I'm extremely offended by the presence of the Gay Pride flag being on the same municipal flagpole in front of Borough Hall. The etiquette for the presentment of the American flag on official buildings within the United States has been for many years that the U.S. flag is flown on the flagpole at the top position. The flag remains the largest size of any flags on the flagpole. Beneath the flag, what has been authorized for years is the POW flag, and then shortly thereafter was the KIA flag killed in action. The significance of the flagpole on official government buildings is to show the world the support for our country and showed respect and support for those veterans who are either missing in action or killed in action defending our nation. The Gay Pride flag, which is presently on our town's flagpole, was in front of Borough Hall, signifies to all concerned a political stance that is not directly related to beliefs of some people. I don't like to talk about that.
Proceed.
That's why I want to explain what I'm saying. The presence of this flag on the same flagpole is extremely offensive to me as a long, lifelong resident and military veteran. There are pride flags on separate light poles in front of Borough Hall depicting gay pride, which are present during the month of June, which has been authorized by the council. I have no problem with them, except the added symbols confuse me. I like the rainbow flag before I put it. Beautiful flag, but anyway. Traditionally, there should be no other flag flown on the same government flagpole. And I might point out that the Veterans Park, the flagpole does not have on that flagpole the pride flag, and should not. The argument that I have with this flag being flown on the same government flagpole in front of Borough Hall is that any organization with any type of agenda should then in fact in the future be allowed to be added to the flagpole in front of Borough Hall. How can one say that the Gay Pride flag is any more important than perhaps a Christian religious flag, a Jewish religious flag, a Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter flag? What I find also very offensive, as an example, when Peter Donahue, our former mayor and veteran, died, I requested that the flag in front of Borough Hall be placed at half staff to honor his being a former mayor. I was told that could not be done because it was not authorized. I also find, as a lifelong resident of Atlanta Commons, that there seems to be a tendency by a lot of people in town to try to show through symbolism that they're good people, not by their participation in our town. I see signs on people's lawns that say that we've taken the pledge to be friendly and work with people of color. Good, honest people don't have to show others through superficial symbols that they are allegedly good. Truly good people are people who go through their life supporting everyone in every manner possible, regardless of their religious preferences, sexual preferences, or color. What I've seen over and over again is that people who want to display phony signs, for the most part, have never dealt fairly and honestly with people who are different than them. I know that some of you will disagree with my comments about the pride flag at Borough Hall. We'll cite what I consider a disgraceful policy by the current administration in Washington to authorize and instruct embassies throughout the world to fly under the American flag, the pride flag. Clearly, this has been done for nothing other than political purposes by phony people. However, you'll notice that they did not instruct municipalities to fly the pride flag under the American flag. Those who truly know me personally know that I've always stood for and demanded that people are treated fairly and supported regardless of their personal preferences or skin color. I sign it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
So, I'm sorry if I may interject. So prior, I'm sure there's a lot of passionate feelings and comments around this issue, as there are some other issues in our society. So before we proceed forward, because I am I believe some of the comments that might come out will be things such as, how did we get to this point, right? How did the flag end up at Borough Hall on the pole? What events or requests preceded today? So in order to, I think, clarify where we're at, it might benefit all of us to go through a little synopsis as to the events that took place so that we have a better understanding. It might affect some of the questions that are being asked. So if I may, Mayor.
Go.
So there was a resolution 103-2022, that was passed unanimously by the governing body here at the dais. That resolution was dated 27th of May, 2022. I'm sorry, dated 26th of May of 2022. The last paragraph in that resolution states, now, therefore, be it resolved, the mayor and council hereby dedicate the month of June 2022 as LGBTQ Pride Month and celebrate the great diversity of our residents and direct the progress pride flag to be flown in front of the Atlantic Islands Borough Hall in recognition for the month of June. So there's been some confusion.
It was passed unanimously, right?
It was passed unanimously, yes. And there were no objections at that evening by either anyone at the dais or anyone in the community. And it should be noted. There was a resolution the previous year that was very similar. The difference between this resolution and the resolution in the previous year was that the resolution in the previous year stipulated 7 specific flags to be flown on First Avenue in front of Borough Hall. This resolution that was passed this year stipulated flags to be flown. So there's a significant difference there. In addition to that, at the May 12th meeting, I believe that the meeting minutes outlined the flag raising that occurred and the sidewalk chalking that occurred, again, without any disapproval of anyone at the dais or the community members that attended or that were patched into the meeting. So those are elements I wanted to make sure everyone understood as well. The request to have what preceded this event was an initial request by Councilwoman Hohenleitner to have one of our crosswalks in the municipality painted with a rainbow flag, as was done in some other communities in the state, most notably right next door in Highlands. Okay. That request, after some research was conducted, was denied. It was denied by my office, After I had consulted with the DPW director, the police chief, the borough attorney, the borough engineer, and the JIF, our insurance entity. After consulting with each one of those entities, it was clearly identified by each one of them that the manual on uniform traffic code control devices, the MUTCD, regulates all striping, signage, etc. The crosswalk shall consist, quote, of solid white lines. We were advised specifically by the insurance carrier, the JIF, that if we did not adhere to that and a situation occurred and deemed to have occurred because of the confusion, because of the lines in the crosswalk, that we would not be covered. We made the decision in the best interest of the borough, of all the residents, to not allow the crosswalk to be painted in a rainbow pattern for that reason. Other municipalities are free to make whatever decisions that they would like. Councilwoman Hohenleitner was informed of this directly by myself and the mayor. She understood and supported the decision completely.
Understood, of course.
Councilwoman Hohenleitner then asked if a flag raising could be conducted along with children chalking positive words and phrases on the sidewalks. After I conducted some research, both the mayor and I confirmed that it could occur under certain parameters. Those parameters consisted in part such as it would not be permitted in Veterans Park. Veterans Park is called Veterans Park, and that's reserved for honoring the veterans. In front of Borough Hall, there are not multiple flagpoles. So we made sure that we stressed that the flag needed to be smaller than the American flag and under the American flag and under all other flags that are currently hanging under the American flag. The flag would need to be removed the morning of July 1 along with the other pride flags on First Avenue in front of Borough Hall. Councilman Hohenleitner had no issue with that. The flag raising was informed to the public at the borough council meeting by Councilwoman Hohenleitner, as well as posted to the public on the borough Facebook page. The flags have been up for approximately 20 days, I believe a little bit more, and we have not had any official complaints or objections at my office, aside from the letter that was read tonight, and I thank Mr. Rast for coming and for reading his opinion, and I appreciate it. There were no other statements up to that point in time. All of the pride flags are scheduled to be taken down the morning of July 1st, which is, I think, in 6 days now. We did some research prior to any of this occurring when the request was made. The research that we found was that the flag code has no provision for enforcement. No fines, no penalties. There's nothing law enforcement can do when the flag code is broken. You may never place two national flags on a single pole, as they must be at the same height and approximately same size. We didn't have that issue here. You may never place a company or advertisement flag on the same pole of a U.S. flag. We didn't have that issue here either. Had the pride flag had an endorsement on it by a company, that's technically not prohibited, and we would not have allowed that. Or if a business in town wanted to have a flag flown on the flagpole here, that would not be permitted. In military use, no more than two flags may be on a single pole. There's no official guideline for civilian use, however. The order generally is as follows, seen top to bottom. U.S. flag, POW, MIA, then state flags, then U.S. territory flags, then military flags, and then other category, not including advertising, which is not permitted. So that's the research that we had done prior to getting back to Councilwoman Hohenleitner to say, yes, you can proceed, however, under these certain parameters and under these certain guidelines, which she did. Our research also had indicated that, you know, what was conducted here was very similar to what had been conducted in many towns throughout New Jersey, some of which we found to be Elizabeth, Berkeley Heights, Wayne, Highland Park, Westfield, Mount Olive, Neptune City, Long Branch, Jersey City, Trenton, Oradell, Verona, Little Falls, Bergenfield, Princeton, Drumwacket, which the governor's official residence in Princeton under the state flag, Middlesex Board of County Commissioners, Bergen County, New Jersey State Bar Association, and Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office. I ended at that one because there was just too many to list, but that's just a synopsis of a tasting of some of the other municipalities that have done the same thing. On a federal level, as was notated, you know, the General Services Administration, which functions as the federal government's landlord, has approved 48 requests to fly the Rainbow Pride flag for the month of June. That includes entities such as the U.S. Energy Department headquarters, the DOE, EPA, the Agriculture and Interior Departments, and a host of other federal agencies. And in addition to that, the State Department authorized U.S. embassies to fly the Pride flag. Mr. Rast is correct. There was no directive from the federal government pertaining to municipalities. So I just wanted everyone to understand the process that took place, because I was anticipating that there'd be questions as to who approved this, how was it approved, why was it approved, who did the request come from, when did the request occur, and I figure it's better just come right out and outline it all to alleviate some of those questions and yeah. Get right to the heart of any other questions.
That was very helpful.
Just a couple other
background
things, the inclusive Pride flag, but also we filled out a special events permit in addition mm-hmm. yeah. to all yeah. of that, so there have been multiple bodies consulted. And I just wanted everyone to know that the police chief and DPW were not against this at all. This was truly right. legit, because they are very supportive. Police chief and the DPW did mm-hmm. put up the flags and attended the ceremony, so I mm-hmm. just want to make sure that no one thinks that the police or DPW is against this.
Okay, thank you for putting that out there.
You're welcome.
In 2007,
name and address.
Robert O'Connor, 21 Brandon Avenue. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, I stood in this council chamber. Actually, it was the old council chamber, and addressed Mayor Rast, and challenged his position to allow the Boy Scouts to camp on Lenape Woods. At that time, the Boy Scouts of America had a ban on gay members and had kicked out a Matawan, New Jersey Eagle Scout named Jim Stale. Fred assured me then that Atlantic Highlands was a welcoming
community. Make sure everyone's
sure.
Okay, thanks.
He assured me that Atlantic Highlands is a welcoming community and that LGBTQ people should feel safe here. And I believe Fred. Me and my modern family, who are here tonight, we have put our roots down here. We are profoundly aware that there are many places in this world and in this country where we would not be safe. I am 57 years old. I came out during the late 80s at the height of the AIDS crisis. I lived through and felt the force of hate speeches from Jesse Helms, the murder of Matthew Shepard, a young gay college student who was tied to a fence and beaten to death in Wyoming, and countless others who lost their lives simply because of who they loved and who they were. In 2020, the latest year I could find stats for, hate crimes based on sexual orientation and gender identity accounted for over 19% of all hate crimes, the third largest category behind race and religion. There are many people out there who still hate us. So when this community hangs the Pride flag in a place of honor, you're telling me and the rest of the world you stand with us. This community is a safe place. That flag has deep, profound meaning to us. So when I hear that you want to take it down, you threaten that sense of safety and respect. You're telling me that I am less than. I don't think it's too much to ask that for 4 weeks in June, we place the Pride flag in a place of honor and show the world that this town really cares about us.
Thank you. Rob, can I? Thank you. Thank you so much. The sidebar, do you want to promote the film festival? When is it? July 16th. It's going to be wonderful. Thank you.
Let's hear from everyone.
And we're gonna hear from everyone first. So is there...
Is a response necessary? I mean, I really appreciate what.
Okay, no,
I
just.
More to say, I would.
Well, then.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless you, Rob.
Address.
This is Angus Rennie, and I'm from 236th Avenue in Atlantic Highlands. Mm-hmm. I'm a very proud Atlantic Highlands resident. And unlike you, Mayor Rask, I'm a fairly recent resident.
Make sure you have to.
I have to address this.
Yeah.
Unlike Mayor Rask, I'm a fairly recent resident. And I have to tell you, from an economic standpoint and from a cultural standpoint, the presence of the Pride flag generates investment and opportunity through inclusion and diversity in our town. You know, Robert gave us a very moving personal story of having made this town his community and feeling safe here and the importance of the Pride flag. But I want to take us just a bit out of that and think about the economics of it. The fact that that Pride flag represents to potential customers on First Avenue, to potential new residents here and taxpayers, that they will feel safe here. And, you know, Mayor Rask, I thank you for your service, but I'm profoundly disappointed that at the end of a successful month of celebrating that this is a welcoming and inclusive town, that this is what we're having to deal with today. It does truly disappoint me, but I would like to invite you to a dialogue. I would love to have a coffee or a beer with you and to understand better what motivates you. And I mean that very sincerely. And I do thank you for your service. There are just a few things that you said that I would like to touch on.
Oh, make sure you everything.
I am directing
the
my voice towards the mayor. Thank you for giving me this time. You know, I respect your service as a veteran, but I think it's probably important, and perhaps there are other veterans in this room who are people of color or who are queer or who are gay or who do identify with that flag. And those things are inseparable for them. I have a very dear friend who served in Vietnam and who was dishonorably discharged for nothing other than his identity as a gay man, as a proud gay man. And that flag means something to him as well. And I thank him for his service. And I know there are a lot of other queer veterans who believe that. The gay pride flag is what Mayor Rask referred to the flag as. And I just, from a language standpoint, want to ensure that everyone here, our community, understands that it's so much more than a gay pride flag. And all those new colors that Mayor Rask says he doesn't like so much, although I am glad that you do like the Roy G. Biv, that's great. I'm glad we agree on that. Thank you for that. It is beautiful. But those extra colors are extra layers of diversity. They're bringing people in. They're including more people saying, you are all welcome. Black, brown, trans, male, female, no matter how you identify, if you're a good person and you want to serve your community and you want to be part of this place, we welcome you. So it's not a gay pride flag. It's a pride flag that celebrates diversity and celebrates inclusion. So I just, you know, I wanted to add that to the record. You know, it doesn't signify a political stance. This is not a political position. This is just who I am. This is the skin that Robert lives in. And so I am disappointed that Mayor Rask finds his presence offensive, which is your terminology. And the added symbols that confuse you, again, I would be very happy to have a dialogue with you to talk about that and learn more about how you feel. There may be others, especially some of the young, primarily women, but young women and men who've been working so hard to build that. I think it would be great for you to speak to them. I understand that this letter, I would love to have the text of the letter also, so we could work on that together and respond to some of your concerns, if that's something that you're open to. I think there are others who would like that. You know, you mentioned Mayor Donahue. I was so privileged to have him as a guest in my home before he passed away. And I can't put words in his mouth, but I also want to, you know, honor his service and just recognize that I enjoyed getting to know him in the brief time that I had to get to know him. In terms of there seeming to be a tendency for signs on lawns, that good, honest people don't have to use symbols. Well, Mayor Rask has a symbol on his jacket right now. We all use symbols in every day of our life, and they are very diverse. I love that flag on Mayor Rask's lapel, and it is a symbol. And symbols mean different things to different people. And I am disappointed that some of the symbols that are on those flagpoles have offended you. But we all use symbols every day, including our beloved flag, which I don't believe has been dishonored, as we learned that the town was adherent with the rule of law, due process, and protocol for flags. I don't believe that DC imposes policies on flags. I don't think that that's relevant. I think that's a federal or national issue, and I'm saddened by the fact that that's even a relevant point of conversation, because I think it's so important for us all to put aside those kind of partisan differences about things that are so core to our community that shouldn't be about what party we vote for at the federal level. Again, I'm really glad to hear that we were adherent and there was a transparency process. I'm almost done, folks, so what? The good news is we have three glorious weeks with this beautiful flag, and that people have been largely very receptive to it. Of all political stripes, that it's been just a sign of positivity, and I hope and pray that that trend towards us being an inclusive community continues. Thank you for
First, I just wanted to thank you on behalf of the GSA for approving the event, like the flag raising. It was really fun just to see everybody there. And I also wanted to say that as a transgender woman and a citizen of other counties, it's disturbing to me that seeing that certain individuals feel that this flag is offensive, it scares me that people find a symbol of my existence as disturbing or offensive. It's just kind of scary that they want our existence
coming,
so I just wanted to say that real
quickly.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I would like to just respond.
Once again, your name and address. Sorry.
Brother Rass, 4980. I'd like to respond to several things. Those of you that know me, and Robert, you definitely know me, and Richard knows me. Number one, I was the only mayor in the area when I was mayor. Notice my letter didn't even address the fact that I was a mayor, resident, and veteran. I was the only mayor in the area that was willing and eager to do civil union ceremonies first, when the law changed, marriages. I married quite a few people that came to the area because other mayors would, number one. Number two, Robert, you know, everybody knows that without a doubt, every time that I gave a speech, my main comment at the end was that no one should be afraid to walk the streets of Atlantic Commons unless they're here to do damage to people, number one. Number two, shortly after that conversation that when I first met you about the Boy Scouts, we had a change with the procedure. Only because of opposition with us setting up the camping up there. The other thing is a lot of people, new people in town, have no idea who I am or what I've stood for all these years, or what I've done all these years. And believe me, during my tenure as mayor, I've never looked at anyone for their color or their beliefs. I've treated everyone equally, and in some cases protected their lives many times, which you don't know about because you don't know me.
And direct everything up here.
And I never said that I was ashamed or a disgrace with the flag. I'm only complaining about the one flag that's on the main borough headquarters that is in the borough in the lot in the front. The banners, I have no problem with the flags, but those of you that may have some kind of distorted idea, I'm probably the easiest going and protective person of rights of people that you've ever met in your life. So, and those that know me and have known me for the last 77 years know that that's true. So, thank you,
Mayor.
Can't hear you.
Sorry, I think I'm missing something. I want to clarify something.
You have to direct everything up to the dais.
And the reason, just the reason the mayor keeps saying that is because we value everything that everybody has to say and want to hear it.
Yeah.
We don't want it to become a conversation between people.
Are you missing something?
Yeah.
So are you just complaining about it hanging on the same pole?
Okay.
There was another pole, just a symmetrical whatever, and the flag is hanging on that pole. Would that be a problem?
No.
Okay, so that's what it is. He just doesn't want it on the pole with the American flag.
Okay.
He's one person. This whole conversation is for one person who's complaining. I get that, so we're listening to everybody who's going to one complaint. Should we get another flag pole?
Yeah, because
that flag on the pole, but we're doing that to appease just one person. But it is that's the question. He does not get one on the pole. He's not going to get one, apparently, in front of this building.
Okay. Thank you.
I think we all realize.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So,
Mr. Barbados.
It's the place.
What's your address?
22 Lara Road, Dead End Street. It's the way the protocol of a flag is how it's treated. People don't even know how to treat it when you're taking it down, folding it. It's the way being respectful to the flag. You're not really supposed to have any other flags with the flag on that pole. In fact, I'm going to go back to 1969. If you Google the University of New Mexico when they had the problem with the Vietnam War, there were a lot of group of college kids like me who wanted, they went up to the pole and they took the flag down. There were a lot of people on that college campus that wanted it up. There were 15 stabbings because of that, because they didn't respect the flag.
So are you saying it's disrespectful of the flag to have the pride flag?
Well, it is, because people are not respectful. The flag should be alone, and it should be proper when it's brought up and brought down.
Thank you.
Get another pole.
Thank you.
I think we...
Thank you.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. We've all,
of course,
sitting on the stage and done our research, and the flag, any flag that is on the same pole as the American flag, has to be below the American flag, can't be an advertisement, and must be smaller than the American flag. There's absolutely nothing disrespectful about putting a pride flag on the same pole, according to flag etiquette.
Right.
And also the charge that we don't handle the American flag correctly in our borough is absolutely 100% incorrect. And that's besmirching our TPW and our other borough staff that handle the flags. The flags are handled appropriately, and they're folded and put away appropriately, and they're lit properly. I'm sorry, I'm not going to just let that fly and stand out there without correcting them.
Okay, thank you.
You know,
God, thank you, Wesley Avenue. Actually, wasn't going to speak tonight because I didn't know how to follow up. We used to, they kind of covered all the bases, but when we started talking about moving the flags, it's just a fold, some position, and that, you know, just about respect and all that, I had to go back to these signs that were mentioned that were, you know, people with fake signs on the lawn and, you know, trying to push a narrative that wasn't who we were and the symbolism that, you know, was brought up so eloquently. You know, you can dice it and you can split it, and this has been done for a very long time. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we should all call it out. People are offended by change and by things that they don't fully understand, and they can, you know, sugarcoat it as much as they want and say that it's the pole that it's on or it's the position that it is. I mean, it's 1 month out of the year, and it's actually the very bottom pole. I think it should be moved up. I'm just saying, it's only 1 month. But, you know, there's lots of protocol that has to be followed, and it's a step in the right direction. Thank you, Mrs. Holtmeyer. Because I know that you fought very hard for that. And it's important to, you know, point out that we need to have a dialogue. I think that was very nice, and help each other understand that there is a reason that people still feel offended in 2022 by signs of inclusion to two hands holding up two different colors, or whatever it is that people are offended by, there has to be a deeper dialogue so we understand why these people are still offended to this day with all the statistics that they have, and try to, you know, change the narrative that it's you know, it's only because, you know, it's on the wrong pole or whatever. It's just, in my mind, ridiculous. And I
okay. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I want to make a quick comment, too, about this. I don't have a problem with the pride flag. I mean, I've had a lot of people close to me. Some have been really horrible. One was murdered because he was gay. One was died of AIDS in the 70s, somebody I was very close to. And the struggle and some of the pain that I've seen from people, I think it's okay with the flag, American flag. But as a veteran, the two flags in between are where I got a problem. I mean, I like those flags, right? Just killed in action, POW. But the KIA flag, to me, it's kind of sad. I think the people actually know that died, the faces. I still remember them. I partied with them. I flew with them. They advanced me through flight training, some of them. And then to see a celebratory flag, I found it very confusing, to be honest with you. Because here I was sad, and then I had this other flag where I have people that I know who suffered too, but were celebrating all, you know, all their lifestyles. And I have a hard time with that. Like, how do you reconcile? You're supposed to be happy for one and really sad on the other. Because the last time I counted, I had like 10 friends that I flew with or worked with that had died serving the country. And so, and then I looked in Veterans Park, and we have a KIA and MIA flag there already. So then I started thinking, well, would it be appropriate to remove those two flags? And then we don't have, in my mind, that sadness come out, regardless of whatever flag is on there, with the American flag. So I was a little, you know, I'm still a little, like, just don't understand it. I'm trying to get my head around it, because I support both, but I don't. But I think they're opposite. It's kind of a happy thing and a really sad thing. And unless you've been there, and you know people who lost their lives, you're probably just not making the connection. And it's very natural. Right, exactly. Like I said, the people I know that have
and
too.
And service members.
Right, but they just kind of like, I think it's more celebratory though, isn't it?
It's more. It honors a lot of people who died because, like you said, right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to understand, because as you said, the best thing we can do as neighbors is kind of talk to each other and learn from each other. Because when you do, when you understand where somebody's coming from, it's a lot easier to just say, okay, I get it, right? And then you work it out, and I think that's what we really need to do here.
So. Okay, thank you. Wait, oh. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear. Come
on. I'm Diana Holland. I'm an 88. I just want to take 1 second to talk about pride. So, I always have trouble with pride. Right? What am I proud of? The celebratory. I'm proud to be gay. Are you proud to be straight? It didn't make sense to me. And I think a lot of people who are straight probably struggle with that too. Not until I started to think about the opposite of shame did pride make sense. So when you look at that flag, don't think celebratory pride. Think that only exists because of the shame.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm really piggybacking off of Gina. Is Robert and I are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year, and for the first 12 years we were together, we couldn't be married. And talking about celebration, we're celebrating that we're recognized now by some and not all as being equal. And that's what we're celebrating, our struggle, our whole lives and generations. So it's more than just, you know, happy pride. It was a fight for many, many generations. Many.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, speaker.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Boylan, 34 Boston Circle. I'd just like to say that maybe if you've never had your existence questioned, your validity challenged, then perhaps it's difficult to understand the importance of representation. And like the last few people said, pride wasn't first a parade in the city. It was a protest. because there were laws that said that these people cannot exist in public, cannot exist together, cannot get married. I mean, obviously there are still laws that still say that in some places. But these human beings are not hypothetical, they are real. And they are Americans. And there are 1 million LGBTQ plus veterans, if that's confusing anybody, because it's accurate and it's true. And I'd just like to say that the implication that these signs and these flags are phony and political, there is absolutely nobody in this town who lives a more genuine, self-aware life than my 17-year-old transgender daughter who is sitting here tonight. And she is also a lifelong Atlantic Highlands resident. So I thank you so, so much for the GSA students from Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, the children who joined us from Atlantic Highlands Elementary School as the GSA advisor. These people are real. And the representation that you're allowing us for 30 days matters. And it's doing a lot of good. So thank you so much.
Mr. Fisher? Mr. Fisher? How did I know?
I'm going to wait till the end. I noticed in Resolution 116.
Wait, did you give your address?
Third Avenue.
Okay.
Resolution 116, discussion about the field house. I looked up that NJSA numbers 10:4-12B, and it says, any matter involving purchase, lease, or acquisition of real property. Are we looking to buy, lease, or acquire the final material?
So that is a discussion that's going to be occurring this evening in executive session, so I'm not privy to elaborate on that. But I'll be more than happy to elaborate on it at the next meeting.
Okay. The Many Mind Creek project, it's growing in great, but when are we going to take down the soil fence, the black nylon soil fences that mine the whole creek bed? Who's responsible for taking them down? They're temporary fences, just for construction.
My assumption is the silt fences are there as required by Freehold Soil Conservation District for the certification. So the site could be fully stabilized before they can come down. And that's a final inspection by the Soil Erosion Conservation District. It needs to take place typically before that happens. So I don't think action the borough is going to take, but we inquire on the status of closing out that service.
And that would be Kramer would come back and remove them, or is that a borough function?
Not a responsibility of the borough.
Okay. All right. The third thing is a couple of people have approached me, both owners, asking about problems with the rain. The harbor launch ring. Boats getting stuck, trailers getting damaged. Has there been any issues reported by the harbor about the repairs made to the ramp I just last year?
So there's been no official communication from the Harbor Commission to the mayor and council relative to that, but I would encourage you to bring that up, or we can bring it up on your behalf to the actual Harbor Commission when they meet next.
Yeah, the only reason I'm bringing it up is I was at the last one, I didn't hear anything, but it was brought up to me.
I can comment on it.
Okay.
There have been issues. There's a 7-inch curb in the bottom of the ramp,
yeah.
And it's supposed to be this so you don't go back too far. You bump into it. And you don't go over into the mud, and then never get out. Well, some people aren't reading the signs, and it's pretty far back, and they're backing into it maybe a little too fast, and the wheel bumps up, and guess what? They're stuck.
especially at low tide.
And yeah, and they're just really stuck. And then it's a crane or some other way to get them out, and it's expensive, and it holds everything up. So that has been a problem. There were signs there, and I don't know, we haven't really addressed, like, how do you really prevent that? I mean, there are signs, I know two signs for sure, and it's a question of getting the word out. I know when I'm back in, I'm really careful, because I hear it now a lot. It's happened numerous times, so it's something we probably have to address in some way to make sure we minimize it, because it's a big problem. It holds everybody up, and the poor person that gets stuck they're paying a lot of money.
So it's not an issue with the ramp?
No, it's repaired the way it was intended. It's just the way it's used by somebody who doesn't know, or maybe didn't take the time. Maybe, you know, it's not that obvious. I mean, you wouldn't think there's a curb there. You back a trailer. You don't think that. But it has to be there, because after that, it's all mud. And, you know, things will just sink in.
My last question was about LoSAP. We haven't talked about this in a while. I know the 2021 LoSAP awards were approved, but we discussed for a few years about increasing the awards to the fire and EMS volunteers based on CPI.
The Finance Committee hasn't met, but I know we will be meeting, because the regionalization formula question, we're going to have to meet about that at a minimum. So at that meeting, I will make sure that it's on the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Broadbent.
Tom Broadbent, 125 Eastern Avenue. I want to pick up on what Mr. Fisher had talked about removal of the silt fences. I'd like to again address the proper compliance of fencing along Main Mine Creek. We've gone through a pretty much arduous process that has caused me to go ahead and do over this, to demonstrate numerous times that we have an ordinance in place that prevents anybody from putting fence on the creek. One of the issues that had arisen the last time we got together was a recommendation or a conversation with Jim that they were requiring fencing around Many Mine Creek, and we investigated that, and it was just a dialogue. You know, in our last conversation, we talked about supremacy of law, which is basically the state and the federal wetlands law governs what you can put next to the creek or not. So consistent with beautification and consistent with the Federal Wetlands Act, we need to have a really proper dialogue and take down the chain link fence along Many Mine Creek. And we have to begin with us at the borough and go ahead and hold down that fence. But what we need to do is we need to have a plan, okay? Because we need to understand the safety of people abutting the property. So my proposal has always been to take down the chain link fence, have the community give input consistent with the South Ave Park, and let's go ahead and put appropriate wood fencing that can protect people along West Highland. Let's go ahead and bring in materials that are nice and beautiful to the development of the park. And on West Highland, let's actually put a gate, okay? There's a concern. Let's lower that fence to 48 inches, okay? And let's have a gate that enables people to have access to the creek. Because again, if you don't have access to what you're trying to protect, you become very disconnected to them, okay? And this is a resource that young people can get into the creek, touch the muck, touch the fish, watch the terrapin, and we still have an outstanding issue with that retention creek, because the terrapin are in there, okay, they got boxed in, they're fenced up. So we've gone through this for months and months and months, and I think the community itself needs to interact with the council, and we need to have a very comprehensive plan. Then as a borough, when we pull the fences down, when we demonstrate that we follow the ordinances, we can have a conversation and come up with a solution with the commercial folks that are also incursion onto the bank. And what it really comes down to, and why those fences are there, is to go ahead and demonstrate that they don't want people on their property, but they don't really have control of that property. So we need to have a conversation about the Hennessy property, the Swan property,
so they can have parking. Okay? And my next point is, we've been talking about the deficiency in parking in this town for a very long time. Okay? And it's not getting better. And actually, when the economy comes back, it's going to get worse. And we're having these dialogues about redevelopment, but I think we're not having a very specific conversation about redevelopment of the land that we can use to create municipal parking and transit hub parking. So I'm making a request that we begin to go back to the report that Taylor and McCormick put together, okay, whereby they were going to, the community was going to access funding to develop 800 spots down by the creek and down by C Street parking. And we need to go ahead and talk to the governor. We need to talk to the county. And we need to leverage the sales tax that has been coming into this town for year after year and leverage our relationships to go ahead and begin to make what I think is proper redevelopment and redevelopment that has an economic impact. And redevelopment that not only has an impact on the people of the islands, but has an impact on people that are using C Street, which represents a very sizable portion of Monmouth County. So I'd like to propose that. Mr. Fish was nice enough to go ahead and share with me a report that had been generated some time ago. And I think we need to go ahead and pick that up. The other thing that I want to know is, what is the current status of the parking fund? So my understanding is a parking resolution was passed that said you pay in lieu of parking. And that happened in 2018. And the way I read the code is very simple. If you got a variance, for parking that you were responsible, and I think they changed it twice. Initially it was $5,000, and then they changed it to $25,000. If you got a permission from the planning board to go ahead and do that, you had the responsibility to go ahead and pay for parking before you got your COs. And I'd like to know what's in the parking fund. How are you following up on that? Because that will be a base funding to go ahead and solve the problem. So can somebody answer that question?
You could probably go to a parking committee. We could help with Mr. Fisher talking to Mr. Farragina and getting that information out to you.
Well,
I don't know if we have it right now.
I don't have any information to provide relative to CFO
about whether that money goes into the general fund or whether there's a different fund, and also what, you know, what's been constructed since those rules put into place and what
we if we'll hear from Mark. If it's zero, the question would be why, and what is the follow up with the developers in town that got the variances? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to stay on top of this requirement for the CO? If they've already gotten COs, and it's happened within that window of October 2018 on, what would be the mechanism to go ahead and collect those funds and begin the pop with that? And then maybe Mr. Crafty.
Okay. I think
Mr. Farragina will.
Yeah,
I could work with Mr. Fisher. Mr. Fisher and I can get together at some point and
write
a list of questions and get some answers.
Is there anyone on Zoom who don't want to feel?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. Okay.
Was it the interim?
Hello?
Yes, hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is Elizabeth Entrum at 123A East Highland Avenue. I thank you for taking my comment. I just wanted to thank the borough administrator for explaining all of the research that was done in putting up the pride flags. I was happy last year to see them. I was happy this year to see the updated flags. I was very sorry to have missed the ceremony with the youth. I was ill and unable to attend, though I plan to bring my children to that. So I just want to thank everyone who has supported this effort. As was said earlier, much more eloquently than I am, this is a way of not just, you know, celebrating pride and diversity and inclusion, but also helping to show that people's lives matter, that everyone is worthy, and it really is, it's such a welcoming symbol to people coming through our town or people moving here, as was said earlier. So thank you all for keeping this initiative going this year, and I think that's it. I'll just defer to the other comments that were made that were, again, more out of line, but I do sincerely appreciate the Pride flag flying for the whole month of June.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, I have Sarah Child.
Yes, hi, this is Sarah Childs. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Hi, Mayor, and council members. I apologize for not being there in person.
That's okay. Just real quick, your address, Sarah.
My address is 59 3rd Avenue. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you all for your leadership in unanimously approving the flying of these pride flags and your enthusiastic support over the last couple of years. I just want to remind former Mayor Rast of the symbolism of the flag, that it not only represents the valor and hardiness and gratitude that we feel to those who serve in the military forces, but it also represents the American perseverance and pursuit of justice. And I think that pursuit of justice really is where the appropriateness of the pride flag, flying the pride flag proudly, comes in. Because just as we thank our military veterans, including former Mayor Rast and so many others, we also feel such gratitude to those who fight for justice, such as Harvey Milk, and the young people who have worked tirelessly on both the Families Against Racism march and the beautiful signs that we see throughout our town that show others that we are a very welcoming community of difference, and that we are, we celebrate diversity and inclusion. And I think that flying the flag shows that we understand that the fight for justice is exactly what those who fight in the armed services do, as well as the activists, the political activists who fight for human rights and fight for those who deserve freedom and dignity, who are LGBT. And I want to just really express such gratitude to our friends and our community members, Robert and Angus and Richard, and who else spoke, others who have shared their personal experiences and the injustices that they have fought and faced in their lives. And I want to thank our teachers who also are providing such service to our community to ensure that our young people who are LGBT, who often face such injustice, and we know the data shows that 40% of LGBT young people think about and contemplate suicide every year. And we have teachers like Mrs. Boylan who are there to be supportive and affirming and to show them love. And that is exactly what these flags are doing for our young people in our community. I want to end it there, but I, like Angus, would love for my daughter, Eliza Childs, to sit down with former Mayor Rast and discuss the pledge and the signs that we see so beautifully placed throughout this community to show that we are welcoming. And I'd like him to explain to her his beliefs that she is not open and providing service to this community as he suggested in his letter. So Mayor Rast, please reach out to me. I know you have my cell phone as well as my husband's.
Okay.
I would love for you to sit down with my daughter and the other girls.
Thank you, Sarah.
The effort to have our community sign this pledge to be welcoming in this community. I'll look
Thank
forward
you.
To that conversation.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on Zoom?
No additional answers.
And I
don't see any, okay.
Anywhere near 17 Harvard View Drive, Atlantic, can we talk about cannabis resolution?
You can talk about, yeah.
I just hope you will consider the things I'm about to say. I've been a resident in this town over 20 years and a teacher up in Hudson for 44 years, so I'd like to do a shout out to all the animal parents, relatives, students who have graduated. Go ahead and say good. My wife has been a resident of Atlantic Highlands for probably at least 50 years, if not about 55. So my concern as a former educator and coach is the safety of our community, especially the young lives and teens. Each person here, I think in this room, because I know several of you, can tell a story about the abuse of recreational informal cannabis. I know directly, I have some close family members or relatives that I see their self-motivation and their work ethic has really decreased with the use of recreational cannabis. We know that Denver, Colorado was one of the first states that had it, and the increase in crime there went up. Denver News stated we found that neighborhoods with one or more recreational dispensaries saw increased crime rates that were between or over 26% higher than the neighborhoods without any commercial marijuana activity. Cannabis might be legal, but it doesn't make it safe. Increasing amount of underage buying from those who are 21 and older, I think, is one of the things that we need to be concerned with, that young kids buying from older people who have the legal right to purchase it. And how do we monitor that? Yes, they're going to do it anyway, younger kids, but why increase their opportunities? Right now, from what I understand, you have to go to Highlands, Edentown, Hazlitt to purchase. If you have it in this town, you're going to invite people from neighboring towns to come in and buy wood. And where do you think they're going to go? Most likely to go down the harbor or various parks. I hope you have enough manpower to control this. You're taking our town with their families and decreasing their enjoyment in our town. You're making it unsafe for families to go down to the harbor, play in the playground, watch the boats come with their kids, sit outside at restaurants for dinner. Now you're going to have people walking through town under the influence, and who knows what other negatives that will bring. As elected officials, you should be seeking the good of the people, which include the safety and protection of individual people and their families. Now, some of the reasons that there might be a push for this is money or taxes being lowered. And I know that I would rather have higher taxes rather than higher people. We have been here over 20 years. Our daughter grew up here. There's a resident from Atlantic who traveled the country, and he said there's not many places as nice as Atlantic Highlands in his travels. It's a wonderful town and a wonderful place to raise a family. And I asked you, don't turn it into Pottersville. And then I'd just like to read an article. I'm sure a lot of you might have seen it. It just came out this past week.
Did it come from the newspaper or from Captain Mr. Usbach?
From the newspaper.
Okay. Can you cite the source? Because I just want to make sure we're double-checking.
It was an internet source. I want to say it was like the press or one. You can just punch in Todd Riverwell's High and Lee and Crash to Kill Two.
Okay, I know your source. Thanks.
Okay, all right, thanks. So Daniela Bauer, I'm going to just skip through this as quick as I can. Daniela Bauer, 30, and Todd Riverwell was charged with vehicular homicide and fatal chain reaction collision, authorities said. The Todd Riverwell was high on marijuana when she crashed into a Ford F-550 pickup truck, setting off a chain reaction that killed two men and injured two others in Manchester Township. Daniela Bauer, 30 years old, was charged with two counts each of vehicular homicide, assault by auto, strict liability, vehicular homicide, and driving while intoxicated in connection with the crash that killed Mike Savis, 48, and Paul Van Burley, 58, was the time for delivery.
The crash happened about 7:15 a.m. March 25th near Whitesville Road and Route 571. The investigation found that Volker driver was driving west on 571 in a 2018 Honda Civic when she swerved out of the lane on the curb near Whitesville Road. Her car hit a F-550 pickup truck owned by New Jersey Department of Transportation that was being driven by Eduardo Rivera, 30 of Hamilton Township. Rivera and his passenger and Daniel Sector, 26 of the Cream Ridge section of Upper Freehold, both were injured. The impact caused the Ford to hit a 2012 Toyota Camry driven by Sadist, pushing the Camry off the road into an embankment. Sadist was pronounced dead at the scene. The Ford 550 was hit. Let's skip down. Volker sustained minor injuries from the crash and was also taken to Community Medical Center for treatment. The lab test performed on the night of the crash, reviewed by the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office, found that Volker had active THC level of 7 nanograms with a metabolic THC level of 61, showing that she was a recent active user of marijuana at the time of the crash. Upon reviewing that laboratory result of Volker's blood draw, the state's psychologist rendered an opinion that at the time of the crash, her faculties were impaired due to the effects of marijuana intoxication, and that she could not safely operate a motor vehicle. And she is down now in police headquarters in Manchester, waiting arraignment.
Assuming part of the investigation is going to be where she purchased this, if it was legally purchased or illegally.
I'm sorry,
where is that? I'm asking, the article, every member of the council received this besides me, and it was forwarded to me from Mr. Rosbeck, so I'm just wondering, in the article, the version I read, it hasn't been updated lately, but it didn't have any, it didn't say if the investigation had uncovered where this was purchased, if it was purchased legally or illegally, so I think it's a horrible situation.
Yes.
Truly horrible and tragic. I want to make sure we're not putting straw men up and having these arguments that are about cannabis and how people feel about cannabis versus whether cannabis that's consumed is purchased legally or illegally, because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about responsible use, and we're not talking about, and we're trying to figure out what the town thinks. So I appreciate you coming forward, and I truly honor your comments and your opinion and your lifelong, you know, your long residency and your position as an educator. As an educator myself, this is something we're struggling with, and you know, my concerns about it are in regards to brain development, especially at, you know, between the ages of 18 and 21. But I want to make sure that when we're having these conversations that we're talking about what the ordinance is addressing, not the bad cannabis, because it's here, it's in New Jersey right now. So we're talking about whether or not it's for Atlantic Highlands or not.
Correct. And with that, I appreciate and agree with most of everything you said, but the thing that I'm concerned with is the distribution points in the town and the exposure to our children of them.
I totally share this.
That's my total,
yep.
That's it right there.
And I'm only speaking for myself, but I would say that there's even people that are elected officials in our town that consume these products that have children that they can't be getting it. If they're not getting it from a medical supplier right now, my concern is, what is the reasoning behind people being against it? Is it because people don't want to have to be on record as consuming these products? Or is it because it's all over the place? I can't tell you how many people are telling me that people at all levels are using these products. I've had conversations with the police chief about whether it's fair that members of the police department can or can't use it. So like there's a real conversation about who can and should have access, but it's a bigger conversation than that.
Well, just to finish it up the labor, I think we all agree that a person 21 year old, whether it's alcohol or marijuana, and that's their free will to do that, right? That's something that they choose to do. And that's not my issue. My issue is the protection of our young people before they hit 21 years old. Mm-hmm. And to know that a place 4 miles away is a distribution center, they can go there. Why do we need one here? And if we get it in Hazard, why are we bringing it here to us? So that's my concern.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your service.
Thank you.
And with all, the discussion in here today. I'm glad we're in a country where it is free and people can have free choice. But it's more than they can have to drink.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, before we close public comment, I just want to make a comment and just really want to thank everyone that spoke tonight. I think in regards to the conversations at hand, when you talk, one of the underlying values I believe everybody brought up was honor. And I think when you speak about honor regarding any of those flags, it is a highly passionate topic. And I think if you want to be a loving, strong, inclusive community, you need to be respectful. And I just want to take a moment to thank the audience, as well as us members of this governing body, for being respectful and listening to everybody for what they had to say and how they felt. Thank you.
Thank you.
For all of that.
Wednesday, Thursday, the time was drawn. I was in Canada doing Zoom, and I heard a lot of passionate comments, so I wanted to come in and support those who really put...
Morgan, they can't hear you.
Sorry. Thank you for everyone here who spoke and was really courageous in their comments tonight. I also want to thank Councilman Hohenleiter and the mayor, because when you were doing that talking, I got to watch a whole bunch of children really be themselves and really feel celebrated in a setting that when I was their age, which was a little bit longer ago than I'd like to admit, but those kids were only welcome really in the Marcy Band room. And now we're in a situation where these kids were able to be themselves out in public and being supported by elected officials, and I think it's incredibly powerful. And I think down the line it's going to help those kids be happier adults. So the value that is was felt by me as someone who just now in. Also, can you annoy you once again? There was an article that came out from The Guardian. 338,000 lives would have been saved had we had a single-payer healthcare system in this country. This is being reported by outlets on the left and right. And I think there's obviously a lot of concern in this room for our health and doing what's right for kids and our elderly and our veterans. There's, 65,000 veterans living out on the streets who do not have access to healthcare. So once again, I'm asking for the council to consider the Medicare for All resolution.
Thank you. Regina.
Regina Gillen, 15 West Lincoln Avenue. I just, we're talking about veterans here tonight and other things, but a couple of things I want to say regarding veterans. I think I maybe the pre-pandemic, 2 years ago, had mentioned to the mayor and council of having veterans parking spaces. I don't know if you could take one from the taxpayer or whatever, even make it on the side. I know that at different shopping areas in the throughout Monmouth County, they have designated spots for them.
Freehold has a few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, even Middletown, you know, I just think it's nice. I mean, we're talking about symbols and being grateful for people. I think, again, putting up a sign that says Veterans Park parking, if a man or woman has one leg, it would be, or any disability, or you know what, hey, thank you for your service. The other thing that I saw throughout, and there was a couple of other towns in Monmouth County that just recently put them up, is how many residents from Atlantic Highlands, I have, are there 12 or 13 that were killed or in Veterans Park? 14? There's no way that we can possibly maybe flying throughout even just the summer have those pictures in the military uniforms in the different branches, men and women, and the date that they, you know, died for all of this tonight occurring, that we can still have free speech and everything. I think it's overdue. And I think along maybe here, and then however you have to maybe along the side street or something like that. I don't know, but I think that would be awesome, not only for the families, but also to remind us how lucky we are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So...
Mayor, I have one hand raised.
Okay.
Ms. Giles, are you... Would you like to speak again, or is your hand just... still raised.
I think it's still raised.
Okay. I'll try to pick it down. Apologies.
So, since I don't see any
more comments. Mayor, I'll make a motion to close the public comment.
Second, Dougherty.
Okay. And before we go, I want to acknowledge all those students that graduated from Henry Hudson last night. Like Mr. Carley said, I've always loved the kids up there, you know, and I want to congratulate those teachers from the high school and the elementary school that will be retiring. I want to congratulate the sixth grade for moving up and, you know, just another challenge and for hopeful, like, Henry Hudson Admiral. And last but not least, Ms. Kingsmore, our principal up there, will be retiring. She did so much for this town that I know during Sandy, she basically lived here in Atlantic Highlands and Highlands. And I want to thank her so much for everything that she's done for both of our communities. And with that, thank you for everyone coming out.
We actually need a formal motion.
Mayor?
Yes.
Mayor, I'm sorry because I dropped out. I'm not going to belabor anything. I just want to thank everybody that showed up this evening because I think with this, the issue that was raised about the flag, I'm glad that everybody showed up and council got to hear their voices and let everybody know on council where we stand as a town for being inclusive. So thank you.
Okay.
We'll need a formal motion to go into executive session.
We need
Mr. Senator, I think one was made by Councilman.
No.
No, it was closing.
That was to close. We need a motion for it.
But now it's going to be the motion.
A formal motion for 116.
Okay.
Crowley, Murphy.
Murphy. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
No formal action will be taken.
Thank you, everyone.
Approximate duration of executive session, 30 minutes.
No, I do. All right, so I need a motion and a second.
Murphy.
Dougherty.
All in favor?
Aye.
And now I need a motion and a second to close.
Dougherty.
Murphy.
Did you get that? Thank you. Thank you.
All in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thanks, Beth.